Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Darmalars special finale predictions episode. This is Ben.
And Ralph.
And with us for today only is a very special guest, Mr. Jorge Garcia. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
Yeah, I'm in the bedroom.
The bedroom near the bed of orange.
Jorge's in, sitting with the Darmalars. I'm Ralph. I don't know if you heard that earlier. Ben and I are actually sharing a microphone today.
I'm sharing a microphone, and I'm about to piss my pants.
And he almost kissed my face. But, Jorge's in the room.
It's like the old days.
Yeah. Yeah, back when we didn't have any mics.
And kissed a lot.
Yeah. So, we were planning on doing some finale predictions like we did last year. I think I spent all of my predictions on our Greatest Hits episode, which is in reference to the most recent Charlie episode, and not the Darmalars Greatest Hits, which will be up next week.
Awesome.
We'll have the Greatest Hits for you guys.
Tied you over during the summer.
But I figured, you know, we could do some predictions if Ben has any predictions, and maybe see any reactions from Jorge if we can see if they're going the right direction.
We have to call up Andrea Martin and see if he has any tells, and then we'll hit him with our predictions and see if he's bluffing or not. But actually, we could do a little quick interview, maybe do like three or four questions and see. What three questions do you think the fans would want to hear from Jorge?
How much do you like the Darmalars is probably one that they're asking. You don't have to
answer. I like the Darmalars this much.
Sure. I wanted to ask, I think an interesting question would be, the greatest challenge and the greatest reward of shooting on location in Hawaii.
Ooh, you know what seems to be very difficult for me, like in just the physicality of doing Lost, is the march on the sand. That they always shoot us marching across the sand. And they'll use like that flame bar to create that Lawrence of Arabia shot. And just the sand is so soft that you sink and have to. And they make us march for days. And we got to march with purpose. You can't just, like, saunter on the sand like you normally would do when you're at the beach.
You're not the guy in the background carrying a log. You're actually going somewhere.
Yeah.
Or
so
away from somewhere.
That's a big one where, like, I start with spray sweat, and then by take two, I'm already, like, I got plenty of my own sweat going.
What do they use for the fake sweat, like, on the shirts? Because it looks real. I mean,
it's just water.
Oh, they just spray them.
Yeah, they just spray them down.
Know, it looked like kind of a dye or something.
They spray them down before it takes. Sweat on skin, they use sometimes. There's like a sunscreen that's a little bit oily. It kind of gives it a little shine and sheen, and some people prefer that.
And then
we'll spray down right before the take.
Is that stuff applied to you, or you just do it yourself?
That's a mix of both. A lot of times they'll come and do it, or like you lift your arm up and they'll spray your pits. And other times, if we're shooting somewhere a little more remote that's harder for makeup and hair to get to, they might just leave a bottle with us, and we'll do a quick spray down before the
day. Make sure you keep your own sweat continuity.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be one of the greatest rewards of shooting in Hawaii, other than the fact that you're in Hawaii?
Well, yeah, when you're, like, sitting at work, and you look off, and you see a whale breaching in the ocean.
I saw footage of that, I think, on the season 2 DVD with you and Cynthia Watros out on the cliff.
Yeah.
Taking time out to watch the whales breach.
Yeah, and yeah, that cliff was cool. There's also like a monk seal down swimming around, and there's always, or also up on Police Beach where we shoot the camp stuff, there's constantly turtles in the ocean or coming out of the water and just, you know, soaking up sun. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. It's still cool.
I was trying to think of questions before you arrived. I mean, you obviously love the show. Is it a show that you would have watched even if you weren't a part of it?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to totally separate myself from it.
When you read that first script to the pilot, were you like immediately thinking, I need to be a part of this?
Oh, no, because there wasn't a script when I went in for the show.
Oh, wow.
I knew it was J.J. Abrams, and I knew it would shoot in Hawaii, and really that was enough for me because, if anything, I'd get a pretty decent Hawaiian vacation out of it.
At the very least.
Yeah, and but J.J. Abrams had a pretty strong track record that I thought, you know, there's also a good chance that this could go. And then after I already had the job, about a week later, they actually sent scripts out. And when I actually finally got to read it, and it was episode 1 and 2, so it ended with the guys, where are we, kind of Twilight Zone type
right.
of ending,
which is a great hook.
Yeah, and that I was totally into that, and it scared me too because I knew I was supposed to run away from a plane wing that's going to explode behind me, and I was like, I've never done anything like that before.
You're reading the script and you're like, wait a minute, that's the guy I just got cast as.
Yeah,
that's a stunt.
But yeah, it was cool.
That's I mean. It seems odd to me to be sold on the concept of a show without knowing that much about it. But, I mean, like you said, he's got a track record.
Yeah.
Alias had a lot of fans. Did you ever watch that show?
I did. And I mean, I didn't have a job at the time, too. So it was like, you know, I just come off Becker. Becker ended right before Christmas. And so I was coasting for a couple months. And, you know, I'd gone out for pilots and even tested for maybe a couple, and nothing was panning out, you know. And I was like, I really hope I get a pilot this season. And then Lost magically showed up.
Are there any shows that made it to the air that you didn't get cast?
Pilots? No, I can't think of...
I guess we're looking for, like, a guy that passed on Elvis moment here. Like, the guy that didn't sign the Beatles.
No, I don't think anything got picked up.
What do you make of all this, all the podcasts doing all the coverage on Lost?
Well, there's so many now.
I know.
It's really, especially when we started going week to week with the show. It was really too much to try and keep up with,
yeah.
You know, and I kind of had to narrow the field down as far as what I was going to pick and choose. I went through, you know, because I would try, because, like, there was the network that would, like, bring a lot to my attention and stuff, and so, I kind of got a taste of, like, all of them and stuff, but after a while, I started to be like, okay. You know, I'm not going to get to these, and then there's already going to be a new show. So, yeah, so now I have a little limited list.
Is it confusing at times to see the press for an episode that you already shot weeks and weeks ago and you're in the middle of shooting another episode? I mean, does that play a factor at all, or can you just turn off the acting side when you go home and just be a different person?
Yeah, it's not confusing. I'm like, when I listen to stuff and where people, it's kind of fun hearing where people think the show is going, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
Yeah.
Just because I have slightly more information than they do.
A different perspective.
And so it's kind of like, in the stuff that they pick up on and notice, and some of the things were in the script, and so I'm glad they caught it. And there's other things that they'll notice that I was like, oh, that might not have been on purpose.
that's just a mistake.
But sometimes, you know, they end up becoming by accident on purpose later.
Yeah. That's the organic nature of the show, which kind of, I guess, leads me to maybe another question is, a lot of times with a series, you get, like, different writers maybe or different directors from episode to episode. And do you find that the actors are really the custodians of the characters, the ones that try to keep the input of saying, oh, my character wouldn't do this, or I don't, or is there not that kind of flow on Lost?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's part of it like that. There's definitely, I've had a couple moments more actually with directors sometimes Because Hurley's basically the biggest role I've had. Like, I've played Hurley longer than anything else I've worked on. So there's a certain sense of confidence that I feel that I kind of know how Hurley goes. And so there's some approaches to certain scenes where I'll have the discussion with the director. I was like, you know, I actually think Hurley's, you know, like Hurley's not really much of a confrontational person, for one thing. Although he's starting to turn.
Every once in a while.
He's starting to kind of like find his moments where he's like a little more, a little harder. And that's kind of fun to find.
Yeah.
But there's like certain things where it's like, you know, they see the scene this way. And I was like, but I tend to give the director their credit.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when they come to us, says, okay, that's another way, and I try and find the medium between it.
Because you respect that they're there to do a job.
Yeah, and there's a lot that have been with us for a while. I mean, like people like Jack Bender and Stephen Williams,
yeah,
who directed a ton of our episodes, like most of them.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a trust both ways because they know the product as well.
Right.
And so they can... see, you know, so their ideas are good, and it's definitely a direction. So
you'd be like more comfortable and just listening completely to what they would have to say. You wouldn't,
yeah,
you wouldn't
I'm,
even bother.
I'm totally them. Confident in that become, that would be a another way to do it. Actually, the best example was when we did the pilot and I did a scene for JJ, and he would always direct like this. He'd be like, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay. This time, you know, just do it again. Just do it again. And it would drive me crazy a little bit. What is that? What is that? And it was when we were shooting the last scene on the last day, and it was a scene that I don't even know if it made it, right after I bring food to Claire, when I give her that second meal, I go and I bring food to Locke.
Oh.
And in fact, there's a still of me standing behind Locke that's out there from that scene, but I don't think that scene ever made it to the show. And he said that, and that last day I was like, what is that? You've done that this entire shoot. What do you mean when you do that? And he says, it's not how I saw it, but it is also a way. So like JJ was like, convince me, you know, do it again so I see it your way. And
is there ever a time when, say, a director might know more than the actor and try to get you to do something that you normally wouldn't do because they might know something that you don't?
Something coming up, like in the future?
Yeah.
Or
is everybody on the same page except for the writers?
Like you would say, I don't know if I would do this, and they say, actually, we know that you would because next week you do.
That right. Kind of that was more maybe out of... at the beginning,
yeah,
of season one, but it was more like, you know, when they tell like Yunjin, okay, listen, even though you're not going to, you speak and understand English,
oh, okay,
and you're not going to do for a few episodes, stuff like that,
oh, okay,
or in the same way, I know Foxy had said at one point with the scene where he's having the drink in the plane itself in the pilot, he was like, listen, I don't need to know. Why? But I just need to know how important is this drink, and you know, so he has enough of the ramps, is, you know.
One of the questions that Ben brought up on our last episode, Greatest Hits, is that Charlie appears to know how to swim,
right?
And we both thought that. Dominic would know everything about his character, including the fact that he had mentioned that he doesn't know how to swim. So we just thought it was strange that they would let that fly. Like, would an actor just go along with the script even though they know that it's not in their character?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'd hate to think he was lying when he said it, but
yeah,
he did seem to be okay swimming.
And then we talk about stuff like that, about actors, you know, fighting with directors, or like you said, making calls to Damon and Carlton. And then you have to think about it. It's like, we think about it as a television show, but it's also for a lot of people a job. And I know I wouldn't want to have to tell my boss at work, you know, that's not the way that I reconcile this data, and then have to deal with her the next day.
The idea, there's a way to approach it. And you're on the same team, you know, it's not like that. It's more, there's a situation where, when Sawyer finds out that he doesn't have a thing in his heart, that'll make his heart explode. He thought that, all right, when that gets revealed to me, I need something to try and get back to him. And that's where, like, he punches him, or he hits him, and has that moment. You know, he basically called them and said, I would do something in that situation.
Sawyer's not just going to take this one on the chin.
Right. And they said, you know, you're right. And they put it in. So, Boom. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, you're all trying to accomplish the same goal. I mean,
yeah,
telling the story. So, yeah.
That's the biggest thing, like, from when you start testing for a pilot, and the idea of once you get past producers, you're now on the same team, and now you and the producers want to convince the studio, you know, and then you're all on the same team, and then all you guys want to convince the network that when you walk into an audition, they want you to be the answer. Because they're like, what am I going to do? How am I going to find this person? And so, yeah, they want you to succeed. It's not like, you know, screw you, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. Sometimes when people start getting all caught up in their own,
because they wouldn't get anything out
stuff,
of that.
Right.
They're not there to go on an ego trip. They're there to make a show or a movie or whatever.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Is it easier to deal with the network being so far away from the mainland?
I think it's a lot of, I enjoy it.
Do you feel it's, you don't feel them like breathing down your neck as much?
It's kind of, well, sure. I mean, I haven't had that much experience of doing a TV show from before, but yeah, I mean, when there's like the network kind of would show up on sets and stuff like that, that's obviously easier when all they got to do is come downstairs.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's part of it. There definitely is a sense that when we're doing Lost, that it's kind of like, you know, a show that me and my friends do out in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah.
And that I enjoy. I think it's a great creative place to do something like this. Especially like season one and season two, I think. We used to get the DVDs ahead of time of the episode before it aired.
Okay.
So, we could, you know, when we would get together and watch the show as a group on DVD without commercials, and it kind of really felt like this is just something me and my friends do, you know, we think about, you know, there's no commercials running, so you don't think about it really being on television.
Yeah. Are you guys still doing the weekly parties?
We do. They're a little fewer and far between, but every now and again, you know, someone will come over and watch the show.
Just a like random invite over craft services.
It'll be I had them over my house right before Trisha Tanaka's day.
That's cool.
That's a fun episode to have a party for. I can't imagine like something like the Brig being very party worthy.
Right. It's a little nerve wracking when you haven't seen the show yet and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, I really hope I pulled my weight this time.
But I mean, this season has been great. The past couple months have just been spectacular. Have you been enjoying them? What's been coming out?
Oh yeah. There's been some really cool stuff. That's been also exciting in script form. That I was really like the Ben episode. I couldn't wait to see it. Because I wanted to see, like, that scene
when
in the
shed.
When
you read the script, you know.
I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to see that. And and how are they going to do, you know, Jacob in the chair and all that stuff.
Yeah, that must have been something that to look forward to.
That was really cool.
You mentioned Trisha Tanaka, which is for me was kind of like a turnaround episode because I think there were a couple episodes before that that I didn't respond to as well as certain other episodes. And then from that point forward, I think it's been all gangbusters.
Yeah, so, yeah. Trisha Tanaka was kind of like that, the chapter mark when focus turned back to
the beach.
The campers.
You guys. And that was that must have been a lot of fun to do that episode. I think
it was fun, and it was fun days where it's just me, Josh, Daniel, and Dom,
and a skeleton,
and just hanging out in the jungle, and then getting to drive around in that VW was pretty cool too.
Yeah, that's cool. I think you were talking earlier about just making a show with your friends in the jungle. I think that kind of atmosphere really lends itself to what's going on with Lost. I mean, I can see a more corporate show being a difficult way to tell this story step by step and unfold it the way Lost has done. I can see that a high studio pressure and a high pressure environment would really quash that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I didn't really phrase that in the form of a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. But I definitely. There's a lot of license, I think, that they've given to the creators of the show, a certain level of trust that they can do their show right, and it's the audience has responded, so then it works out.
Exactly, and the audience is responding. I mean, I was talking to my mom on the phone today, which I hardly ever do, and she said, what other TV show can I call you and just talk about for half an hour? Just randomly, and she called me up and she was like, okay, I think that Penny's dad owns something, and I'm pretty sure that Son's dad is in on it.
And then you say to your mom, Mom, I have a show. I really don't feel like talking to you.
Yeah, the weirdest thing was that first summer before we aired. The pilot was out there, and people were already watching it on the internet. And
then the Comic-Con buzz,
they did,
right?
Like a test also, because there was like... when they would do tests sometimes on, like, they'd run it on some cable channel, and they'd tell people, okay, this is going to run at, like, 3 o'clock on this channel, and then we're going to call you and do a survey or something.
So is that something that anybody could have stumbled
anyone, if
upon?
If you stumbled, yeah, people did. People stumbled upon it, and then people says, I think I just saw Lost.
Wow.
I was just kind of flipping through channels. It was, like, 3:36.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that they did. And that summer was just like we loved the story. Like that's we found out, obviously months before the audience did that John Locke was in a wheelchair. Yeah. We're like, oh, how cool! And we had there was also House of the Rising Sun before we had aired, and we shot that too. And we're like, I don't know. I really hope people like it. I mean, I think we're doing a different kind of TV show, but this
you
is all in Korean. Will they respond to it? And it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was we crossed our fingers and said, we were hoping to get Alias numbers just cuz that's where we were coming from.
Yeah.
And we did better.
Beyond that.
Were like, wow. And I remember that Thursday coming to work going, wow, I hope you guys like Hawaii. And it was just like, well, okay, let's see what happens next week.
Cool. That's really cool. I let Jimmy know that you were stopping by today, and unfortunately he couldn't make it down here from Seattle to do some music. But he definitely wanted to know some music stuff. What do you think? I mean, I don't know how I could phrase this, but Hurley definitely has a theme. Michael Giacchino has a theme worked out for Hurley. What do you, Jorge, think about that, having your own theme music? Is it something you ever thought would happen, that one day you would have theme music?
No, it's not really something that crossed my mind.
It's kind of cool.
It's
really
cool. And Michael's an awesome guy and really like cool to hang out with. When he does events, sometimes he does come out to Hawaii for this and that. And stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he came out for the DVD release party.
Oh, okay.
And so we hung out most of the night, just sitting around And I was going to say shooting the shit, and then I was like, I don't want to say shit. And then,
but it's the Dharma wire,
so I said it twice now. And yeah, and like I haven't had a chance to, but yeah, I'd like to go because he's also invited us. Like if we're ever like in town, we can go and like watch
the scoring session.
Yeah, the orchestra.
Oh man, I would love that. If you ever accept that, give me a call.
Okay.
If Giacchino ever needs nose flute, Ralph's ready to go.
Right on.
I'm an expert nose flautist. Which, yeah, you'll see next week.
Oh, yeah.
What about the source music? You know, stuff you were listening to on your headphones at the beginning of season one. Is that type of music you listen to normally? What kind of music? I'm sure you get asked music questions all the time.
Yeah,
but
I mean, there is. And it's kind of cool the way some of that stuff happened, too, where sometimes the ideal will be for a particular song, and then for some reason the artist doesn't want to license it to us and stuff, and then they go find something else. Like Joe Pretty Wash Away was a replacement song.
Really?
And I thought it was great because it works really, really good. And
are you at liberty to say what the original?
I don't know if I mean,
can of worms don't do.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. I don't want
to. Maybe I'll play something in the background.
Say it then, but
John Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
but it was kind of cool then because Joe Pretty was very independent, you know, and this guy, the other person, was like more like a major label. And so it was kind of cool that, you know, it kind of became a thing and started selling more off his website, things like that.
That's cool.
And
it's funny because Hurley, the character, was associated with music a lot in the early episodes, and then his batteries died, and we really don't make that connection anymore. And now the latest Hurley song is Shambhala by Three Dog Night,
right.
playing in the bus.
Were you guys
the scene when we were sitting there doing in the records,
yeah,
and things and
Hurley, yeah, yeah, Hurley. Now was there not any batteries in the Swan Station for you to charge up your Walkman?
I know, but he ditched it in the sand too. It was like, oh crap, and just kind of stuck it there. And like,
get Vincent to sniff it out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I want to think of something else. Was I remember going through what we were discussing, like when something is so far back, which in the show is maybe 2 weeks ago, but it might be something between one season and another.
Uh-huh.
And we'd sit and we'd be like, okay, I remember that one of the first funerals scenes we were doing, and I was going through a discussion with Jack Bender, and I was like, I think we need one more mound of bodies because we're like, all right, there's Scott or Steve, and okay, there was this, and we kind of were going through it, and it was like, or we had to take one away. There was something that was like that,
yeah.
For I think when Boone died, and I was like, wait a minute, or maybe Boone was one of them. I was like, wait, we got Boone, we got Scott. We need one more. I remember having a situation like that, and we went back and forth. And sometimes you got to call Burbank.
Yeah.
And you're like,
is there some kind of like database that has everything?
No, it's not that specific.
Yeah, it's called an intern. Here, watch every episode of Lost and let us know.
We need like find some internet website and post it and be like, how many mounds do you think there'd be on Boone Hill if you were to say to have another funeral?
That's very funny. I'm not sure I have any more questions.
Or like light bulbs where we're like, would that light bulb really still be there? And sometimes you just got to be like, screw it, it's a TV show.
Did it ever cross your mind that maybe them putting Dharma logos on, you know, products that wouldn't be on the island, did it start to get to the point where you just thought, okay, now that's just silly? Like playing cards, and I mean, we've seen the Dharma logo on any kind of, you know, luxury item.
I mean, the fact that they made the cookies and the cookies themselves have the logo imprinted on it.
Wait, they stamped the logo on those.
So in the long shots, it's, you know,
it's just an Oreo
name brand cookie.
Yeah.
And then,
oh yeah, sorry.
the whatever we were using.
A chocolate style sandwich cookie.
And yeah, chocolate cream. And then inside, and like those cookies were softer and hard to totally.
Oh, sorry, I'm off. Softer and harder to maneuver. Yeah, and it's also, but it's also been kind of an entertaining thing because the art department will make Dharma logos for random things that we just have around set.
Yeah.
Like there was a series of Dharma, like they were doing like surf stickers or some kind of like Dharma surf team thing. They did.
Like TNC.
And that's kind of cool.
I mean, it's cool because you would look at that and say, God, they put the Dharma logo on everything, playing cards and all that, and then you'd expect that to be the merchandising tie-in. But it's not really. They're not really making a big scene out of merchandising off Lost. It's just a fun art department thing. Except for the Apollo bars, but that was like a mystery. That was like a fun.
Yeah, I think what Ben's getting at is when are they going to mass market Dharmalars?
What I was thinking was also it's the way Dharma is like the generic brand of
yeah.
And so like I want like when you'd see those like generic things that said T-shirt on it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do those kind of things. Dharma would be cool.
Yeah,
I want to see. That'd be fun to do. A good gift for the crew would be like Dharma beach towels, and it's like from the Hydra station because it's like water.
Oh wow! Finale predictions. I mean, that's what we set out to do, and like I said, I'm really afraid. Before we started recording, I had mentioned that I have this gut feeling that that Jack is going to die in the finale. And then immediately averted my eyes from Jorge because I didn't want to see what his expression was because I just am afraid. I'm really afraid to know what's going to happen.
Like right now, I'm trying to look off and be as deadpan as I can.
I don't even want
to
hear that.
It's also funny this particular little whatever. I don't know how long we're a mini cast or we're about a half hour. Really?
Wow! Can't believe we've been here that long.
No kidding. And the fact that we kind of, like, got right into it, like, I was like, oh, I thought we were going to dally a little bit and talk about, like, what's in our Netflix queues and do random things. Because I was totally ready to divulge that I've been sitting on City of Men for, like, way over a month myself.
Are you kidding? That's funny. Ralph never got around to watching it.
Yeah. I brought it with me on this trip, so I'll hopefully catch it while I'm here, if not on the plane ride back.
It's cool that, because you were talking earlier about how you can't get stuff in Hawaii. It's cool that Netflix works in
Hawaii. Netflix works. And there's a Honolulu Netflix
receiving station.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
So you can get it in a
day. What was the last one you saw from Netflix?
I don't even know because, like,
really?
I've had
Children of Men for so long.
Hollywoodland and City of Men sitting on my desk for way over a month.
What was the first one?
Chidi, that Yunjin's movie that she did. It's a Korean movie.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen it, but I'll put it in my queue.
Apparently she kicks butt in it.
Right on. Did she give you the recommendation?
No, but I it's one of the things I never saw. Like when I first got lost and I started meeting my other cast members, I was like, all right, I'm gonna watch some Roswell, I'm gonna watch some Party of Five. I wanted to kinda get a little watch some Oz, get a taste of
catch up
of what everyone kinda has done.
That's funny. Did you watch any Millennium? With Terry O'Quinn?
I did not.
I've never seen that show.
No,
but
I've seen. I watched some Millennium when it was on TV. Terry O'Quinn for me was Rocketeer. When I saw
O'Quinn,
I was like, oh, man. I remember Rocketeer.
I saw him on a random episode of Star Trek The Next Generation a couple months back.
I remember him showing up on West Wing.
Oh, yeah? Like as a.
And I was like, what? How are you doing West Wing when you're over here? But, like he had like shot some stuff from before that was still to air on
West Wing.
It had
been in the can the whole time. What you mentioned that you've got your DVR almost full now because you've been so busy. What's it full with? Heroes?
Yeah, I'm too behind on Heroes.
You watch Battlestar Galactica?
I watch it on DVD though.
Ah.
So I watch it on a delay.
What about
because I didn't get right into Battlestar Galactica at the start, so now I'm trying to. But I was like, oh no, it's starting again. I don't have time. I gotta wait, go and do another loop. Okay. I'll catch up over the summer.
What else you got in there? In your DVR?
Ace of Cakes.
Yes. That's my favorite show.
I watch a whole
What's your favorite cake?
Food Network than...
that he's done.
That's a good question.
I don't even know which mine is.
I like the bumper cars that they did for that wedding. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know which ones I liked? And it's they look like the most plain cakes were those two owls that they made.
Yeah.
Those were they were so simple, but the design was really retro.
Who knew?
I thought the Kentucky Derby one was really cool.
Yeah, that was the pilot.
Yeah, and like I was like, when did fondant become this huge cake thing? Because
I didn't know what fondant was.
Yeah,
I've
never run into fondant in my daily life, but it's like that's like the main.
Yeah.
Oh, the Scrabble cake was cool too.
Yeah, that was cool. If for some reason you can use your celebrity, if I were you, that I'm just going to use the term celebrity, but someone who's in the public eye, I would use that to go down to Baltimore and hang out with those guys because they just look like they're having the most fun.
Yeah, cake.
We were talking about like something for the finale and like ordering a Lost themed cake, but I was like, but they don't ship, so yeah. they'd have to come out
and make it.
Would
there.
They be willing to do it? And you know, like when they like doing stuff in hotel rooms.
Yeah,
and,
or I can just see Jeff Geoff holding the cake like on his lap on a Trans Pacific flight.
Yeah,
try to make it to Hawaii. My girlfriend made a cheesecake that she glazed with a Dharma Swan logo for the premiere of season 2.
Someone sent me a picture of another cake that they had made, and they had like little cutouts of us. There's like palm trees on it, and they had little cutouts of us just stuck in it and like standing up.
That's pretty cool. Oh my gosh, I love Asa cakes.
I watch a lot of Food Network. That was a big thing. Like when I'd be working out, we'd be watching Food Network. Me and my trainer.
Ben and I have had this discussion about Bobby Flay, who is all over the Food Network, and we can't put our finger on it. He seems like you would hate to hang out with him because he seems kind of like a dick. But then when you look at shows like Throwdown, he looks like the nicest guy, and I still haven't figured him out. What's your take?
I dig
Bobby
Flay. I mean, when I'm in New York, I eat at Bar American almost every time I go out.
Is it awesome?
It is fantastic. And no,
it's Ben asked if it was Tex-Mex.
It's you know, it's like steak and seafood and like stuff like that with
Santa
his
Fe?
You know that kind of that Southwest spice action.
Have you tried his Rellenos? Because every time I see him make Rellenos, they look awesome.
Like chili Relleno?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But it's the food's good there, and I like that a lot. And I love watching Throwdown.
Throwdown's great.
I bought a Cajachina. Did you see that Throwdown on roast pork?
No.
This Cuban guy in Miami, he roast pigs, and part of my heritage is Cuban, so I thought, you know, mastering roast pig would be good to know. And also, they love pigs in Hawaii, too. So it's like he has this big box roaster thing that this guy makes and sells out of Miami. So I paid all the cost to get one shipped out to me there.
Cool.
And had to build it, and the test run's going to be a Memorial Day weekend.
Awesome.
Try and do some pork shoulder.
Awesome. Yeah. I know Jimmy's a big fan of Nigella, the British. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that too. I mean, she was big on because like she'd always like stick her finger in her mouth and taste her food.
Yeah. It's totally done on purpose too. Yeah.
I'm an Elton Brown fan. He's my favorite Elton Brown.
Yeah,
but that's because I'm a nerd.
He just thumbs down that.
Yeah, he doesn't like Elton for some reason.
My whole thing with Alton Brown is he's awesome. I can't put my finger on it. He knows what he's talking about. I'm fine with him on Iron Chef.
Yeah.
Because the wealth of information in that guy's brain is
staggering. The encyclopedia of him, I think, is really what's really appealing.
But with the Good Eats,
he's
so corny and over the top. There's just something about it that drives me up the wall. And I told Stevie the way he moves like someone in an early 80s 80s music video. Like, he has that weird, like, jerky motion. I don't know.
Maybe his, Good Eats is just like old reruns of something.
Well, Good Eats is like kind of it's harsh because there's like a public access quality to some of the skits and bits he does, and it's you're tuning in to watch a TV show, and here's all these skits.
Sometimes the supporting cast gives me a little trouble.
Yeah, not all of them are actors.
More than Alton. I mean, I also like Alton at how you learn to pick out like good spatula.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's stuff I'm like awesome. I'm always going to like the different kitchen supply stores, and I'm going, what new random gadget that I'll use once do I want to buy?
Like a pork smoker.
Well, that I hope to use more often.
Good, because that seems like that'd be a fun. I bought a beer making kit. My parents gave me a beer making kit for Christmas.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, this is going to be a fun hobby. I'm looking forward to trying it. I've done it once, and it worked out okay. But after that, I just haven't done it. Ralph doesn't even like beer, and he totally drank it.
Cool. So,
I think it's too bad that Ralph doesn't like Alton, because our next podcast is an Alton Brown podcast. We're starting that next week. I hope you're ready.
Sweet.
Once Lost is gone, our Good Eats. No, that's not going to happen. So anyway, I don't have. I mean, we've talked about. Okay. I already gave my prediction. Jack's going to die, and I'm not looking at Jorge right now. Ben has yet to give a finale prediction. Just give me something. Give me something right now.
I'll give you a couple of finale predictions. One is that they will load the Dharma bus with dynamite and roll it at the others. Two is that Charlie and those girls are going to have a problem communicating with each other for some reason. I don't know what. Probably because their signals from their mouths are being jammed. And my third and final finale prediction is that at one point I will look at the screen and say, what the fuck? And at another point I will say, well, now I'm sad because Lost won't be back until next year.
Sounds good to me. Or had his poker face on during those brilliant predictions.
The what the is going to be there. Every year, every finale, there's a scene that's not written. And the first year they called it the bagel. And they would just be like, all right, this, and then the bagel happens, and then this happens. The bagel and that one was when they kidnap Walt off the boat.
Oh, okay.
And they blow the boat up. In number two, they called it the Holla.
Which is Jewish pastry.
And
Hollow back. Can you?
Season two, I remember.
Was it the outpost, the Arctic outpost?
That's what it was. Yeah, it was the guys. And then season three, they're calling it the rattlesnake. They're going a whole new direction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Based on the rattlesnake in the mailbox.
It's not a Jewish delicacy. What?
And they Damon and Carlton came out to Hawaii. And found moments where they could pull those of us in the circle of knowledge aside and tell us what the rattlesnake was. And
were you in that circle this year?
Yeah. Nice. I was the last one to find out of the group. Because we were having dinner, and I was like, we still haven't told Lori what the rattlesnake is. And so this, well, okay, you go over there and huddle up. And I was like kind of like driving home in silence for a little while, just letting it sink in, because it was like pretty mind blowing, and definitely it's something like going, you just sit there, and I was like, what does that mean for the show and everything around it? And they're like, and he says, well, you don't have to worry about that part. We'll worry about that part.
Now, are there actors that are not in this circle?
It was mostly, I think it was the actors who've been there since the plane crash in season one.
Okay.
I think that's, I don't think like Elizabeth
now,
got
with,
told.
With season two, none of the main cast was in that scene.
Right.
Did any of you guys know about that before it went to air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Different reasons.
It was quite brilliant. One of the things they do that's also quite cool in because of the secrecy of what's coming up in the show is they will write scenes that are just audition material. So someone will come and read the scene, and their scene will be... Like, I have my friend Lana Padilla is one of the women down in the Looking Glass.
Okay.
And she came out to wide shoot, and she auditioned with the scene between her and Sawyer.
Okay.
Who's not down there, right? Yeah. So well, we sometimes... And I also lucked out. Another friend of mine was one of the Portuguese-speaking guys in the finale of season two. So
the Hala.
Yeah, the one that they thought looked like Foxy. And it was great because, you know, I would talk to him on the phone, and I was like, what was your audition piece? And he's like, there's like a printer going off, and I rip the page from the printer, and then like I run down a hall, and then I open a door, and inside there's someone, and I say... I think we found them.
Oh, wow.
And there was none of this snow station stuff, all that. You know, it's in a tent. And there's, there were, like, different stuff. And then I heard that they shot it, and then they shot something else in L.A. as well, like when they did that season two finale.
Oh, okay.
And I know they shot, I think, part of the Rattlesnake.
Cool. Well, look forward to the Rattlesnake.
I'm so glad we're almost there because it's like sitting on this, like
ready to explode. Wow. Well, I guess we can go out on the Rattlesnake. I don't have anything else to add. I mean, that's about as cool as it gets.
I really want to thank you for coming by today. I thought it was cool of you to call us and to agree to be on our little dog and pony show.
Cool.
And I want to get out of here because I'm really hungry. So I hope we go get some food. But thanks, Jorge.
Man.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. And I can't wait to see what the Rattlesnake is. And have a great summer.
Cool. Thanks.
All right.